Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lin. Now, Claire Huang is the Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times, and she joins us every week with an update and analysis of the latest from the territory. Claire, always a pleasure. Happy New Year. This is the first time we're speaking.
Happy New Year.
Top of the agenda, obviously, those 50 pro-democracy activists and politicians arrested in Hong Kong, the biggest crackdown since the introduction of that controversial national security law. The arrests were said to be linked to an independently organized primary vote last July. We need some help with this. What were the July primaries and how was it in breach of that national security law? Also, what led to the biggest mass arrests under the legislation?
So, Howie, the July primary election was held by the opposition bloc. It was one of the strategies that they came up with. It was meant to get us an indication of who voters preferred representing them in LegCo or Legislative Council, that's their parliament. So 600,000 people turned up to vote in this unofficial and now illegal primary election to choose the PEN Democratic candidates, or the PEN Dems as we call them, whom they once fielded in what was supposed to have been the September 2020 LegCo election. This election did not happen. It was postponed by Chief Executive Carrie Lam till September this year because of the severity of the pandemic, or at least that was the reason she gave. So Secretary for Security John Lee yesterday said that the opposition had two strategies, what's called the 35 plus, and then there's a 10-step disruption plan. The 35 plus, as the name spells out, is the aim of getting 35 or more seats in LegCo so as to be able to block all government budgets. Repeated failure, it's significant because if the government fails to pass a budget repeatedly, it would mean that Mrs. Lam would have to resign. So their aim basically was to change the chief executive. And then the opposition could then pressure for reforms because now they have, you know, half of the seats. The 10-step plan features, different things like mobilizing masses to take to the streets, including asking for international sanctions and so on. And these things combined are what the authorities said was to basically create disruption to society and to overthrow or interfere in the functions of the government. This is subversion, they had said.
What's been the reaction to all this, Claire?
Well, there's a lot of jitter, a lot of unease. People in group chats have gone quiet, you know. They're not as willing to give their names when they want to give a comment. Now, news of the arrests have prompted immediate questions, though, of what happens to the voters, because 600,000 voted, right, in this so-called illegal primary. So officials have said that the voters are not the target in this operation. But then you see, they did not say that the voters are not in breach of the security law. So basically, they're leaving this ambiguous, yeah? So the arrests have garnered international spotlight again with US President-elect Joe Biden's pick for Secretary for State Anthony Blinken going on Twitter to say that the sweeping arrests of these demonstrators was an assault on those who bravely advocated are advocating for universal rights. And Taiwan chimed in, saying that the move not only highlights the fact that the Hong Kong Basic Law meant to protect the rights of the people has become nothing but words, but also that the city has been turned from the pull of the Orient into a shocking purgatory of the Orient. The EU has chimed in as well. They have called for the release of those arrested, adding that it was, get this, eyeing further sanctions on China over the crackdown in Hong Kong. But then you see, from Beijing's perspective, they defended the arrests as a necessary measure because they want to stop external forces and individuals colluding to undermine China. Meanwhile, the liaison office in Hong Kong said that the general public can clearly see the sinister intentions of Benny Tai. Benny Tai was is a legal scholar, and he was convicted for his role. He was one of the co-leaders of the Occupy Central movement in 2014. So this 35 plus is actually one of his ideas. So, you know, the liaison officer saying Benny Tai and the others are trying to harm Hong Kong society.
But speaking of the legal sector, Hong Kong's outgoing top judge made a plea on Tuesday to maintain judicial independence as China state media and a growing host of probating figures call for an overhaul of how the financial hub's courts are run. What were some of the concerns raised, though?
Well, so the judicial reform must not be made because some people are unhappy with court rulings, which is exactly what's happening here now, right? Some pro-Beijing folks, I mean, there are people unhappy on both sides of the divide, okay? So, but you have mostly the pro-Beijing folks who have been more vocal with it, and they have been calling for reforms to the judicial system because, you know, there were cases that the cases of protesters involved in the unrest in 2019 are now going through the courts, and whenever there's a ruling, you know, you get quibbles. You know, people think it's too low, too high, that sort of thing. So outgoing Chief Justice Jeffrey Ma also made the point that he has never felt pressured in his 10 years on the bench into making a judgment, and that the courts handle, you know, national security cases the same way they treat all other criminal and civil cases. In his farewell speech, he reiterated the importance of an independent judiciary. This is a hot topic these days as pressure mounts, you know, and doesn't help with the moves made by Secretary for Justice Theresa Ching, you know, where sometimes she says things or makes certain moves that are viewed, at least, by, you know, the pandems or pro-democracy camp as infringing on, you know, independent judiciary. So the outgoing Chief Justice also touched on the importance of human rights and fundamental freedoms to the rule of law. And these are all features that make Hong Kong unique and distinct from the mainland.
What about the pandemic, though, situation in Hong Kong, Claire? Latest figures, downward trend, hopefully?
Finally, a bit of silver lining here.
The
bubble bubble's not coming up anytime soon, but health officials here are now more relieved that the situation is more somewhat stabilized, right? New infections are now at a 7-week low, although there are fluctuations, you know. And even as I say this, people in different places or visited different buildings continue to be found, though. But the tight restrictions remain. So things like no dining services at eateries from 6 p.m., bars, pubs, beauty, massage parlors all shut for another 2 weeks. So they basically they've been extending these tight restrictions for a few rounds. And civil servants will continue to work from home. Officials have cautioned, though, about a quiet Chinese New Year with no bazaars and events. So compulsory testing still goes on. And then recently, I think Singapore might have done it before. But then there was this idea that was thrown up here of regulating private events. So basically, including those people in homes, in private homes, right? So I think there was a cap at some point back in Singapore, right?
So
now they're talking about these things. The Secretary for Food and Health, Sylvia Chan, said that these such measures would only be considered if needed.
Right now in Singapore, you can come visit me if you were here, Claire. Actually, you and...
That's good to know.
You and seven of your friends can come visit me. But Chief Executive Carrie Lam from Hong Kong wrote last week on her social media account that the government's preparing for the vaccination in a race against time and called on residents to actively get the vaccine. What do we know about Hong Kong's vaccine inoculation program? Is there one?
There is one, but the details are not known yet. They've only mentioned about how they've secured vaccines, you know, agreements basically from BioNTech, Sinovac, you know, and even AstraZeneca, the one with Oxford University. So in a previous show, I've said that they're going to give out 1 million doses to healthcare staff, whatever that arrives first, nursing home staff, you know, people who are more vulnerable, like the elderly. So previously, we were told Sinovac vaccines would arrive this month. No word on that yet. But local media have reported that the BioNTech will arrive next month. So there's some hope there.
And the government, Claire, is also in talks with other countries about allowing recognition of Hong Kong's digital system recording a person's COVID-19 vaccination history. Tell us about that.
So Howie, they want, you know, local residents can use this app for travel purpose. So the government launched the I Am Smart app over the weekend. People can book, you know, COVID-19 inoculations via the app. It can remind people when it's time to get the second dose of the right vaccine. The aim of the app is to have local residents use it for travel purpose. But there's another app here where there were more than 400,000 downloads. We have 7 million people here, yeah. It's called the Leave Home Safe app, which allows users to record their whereabouts, notifies them if they have visited a place that's subsequently linked to, you know, a cluster, that kind of thing. But these apps don't do well in Hong Kong. And I think this is an issue that now Singapore is experiencing with your app, right? Because privacy concerns are huge in Hong Kong. That's why anything that's done, so anything like that that's done in Hong Kong, people are not keen.
Yeah.
So the take-up rates for these things are never high.
Claire Huang, Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Howie.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.